Notorious.
Again.
lights are on and stable, Captain. Woo-hoo! Let's see some fucking action!
You bitch. I have never wanted to grab your pussy more.
It was fun to get drunk and have some guy's wiener in your face.
Thank you for eating my end.
When it rains, go outside nude and let it rain on my flower.
I don't even know who the fuck you are anymore.
Live from gorgeous downtown Orlando, welcome to Full of Grace, a show about life, liberty, and the pursuit of fabulous. Tonight, Divine Grace's roundtable consecrated crew is Carol Lee.
You know what? I bet Madonna lets her eat her pussy, but Madonna doesn't do it that.
Christine Robinson.
Quaaludes were involved in, right. Yes.
Jay Skinner.
It's the basket of deplorables. They're going down.
And Michael O'Quinn.
Yeah, but who doesn't like a big fat one?
And now, from the bowels of Orlando, Florida, your mistress of ceremonies, the one, the only, the Divine Grace.
Woo! Bravo! Hater! Welcome to Full of Grace, a show about life, liberty, and the pursuit of fabulous. I'm your hostess, the Divine Grace. With me, as always, is my consecrated crew tonight, consisting of my producer, Michael O. Resident DJ Jay Skinner.
That's me.
Actress and comedian Christine Robinson. Woo! Actress and comedian Carol Lee. Yes. Woo! And special visiting guest this evening, Tom Bland.
Yay!
Joining us later in the show, I'm assuming Cha Cha is going to be here. And possibly Taylor Bullock, which will be fun because he's a hoot. He'll be returning to my table. We're just going to go ahead and put this out. Before we start the show, you know, generally we're trying to do the first show as a kinder, more politically correct, friendly version of the show for sponsors.
Safe that's, for the little ears.
That's off the fucking table.
Tonight.
Okay.
Thank God.
When has it ever been on the table?
Thanks fucking God. So, because it's just tonight, like, we can't be bothered to police that. And anybody who knew Billy Mays knows that it's hard to talk about him without using words like fuck. So tonight's show is dedicated to a dear friend of ours who we lost last week, or week before last, actually, Billy Mays, who was a writer, local writer, activist, Orlando celebrity, sort of a figurehead.
Icon.
It was definitely iconic. Rock star. For those of you listening, if you don't live in Orlando, you've still probably seen him because he was the face that... he was who everyone was interviewing after Pulse. So you'll know him from the shock of white or often yellow hair. Sometimes acid green, even. Chartreuse. Very tiny, sort of soft. Yeah, he looked. Every time I saw him, I felt like if I coughed at him the wrong way, he would shatter like candy glass. But really, really strong guy. Like, it's amazing this little fragile body held in it such passion. Like, just a really smart guy.
As his husband said, he was a force of nature.
He was. I'm going to try to keep all of this up, it's, you know, because I don't want it to the show to be a downer. But I went to the vigil 2 Fridays ago, and there was this really beautiful young woman speaking about. She had something to say about him, and she compared him to basically a star, saying, you know, like many big stars, they burn fiercely and brightly, and then they burn out pretty quickly, the bigger the star. I would also add that there was probably a lot of gas. Lots of hot air. Mm-hmm. He was known here in the area specifically, sort of, or at least the way I was introduced to him. When I first moved to Orlando, I was handed an article that had been written about him, and I think it was Orlando Weekly maybe, but his ex-husband or his former husband had committed suicide, and with that suicide came his family and a whole host of troubles with was before marriage equality, so there was, you know, the legality didn't work out well for him. And there was a documentary filmed about that, so that's how I knew him. He had since, I think just in February, celebrated his second year anniversary with his partner, Tony. We're thinking about Tony tonight. Really, really good guy. And when I saw, when we all, Tom, you were there, we were all just in D.C. marching and got to spend a day with the both of them. And what I found so interesting about Tony, because I remember... when I remember the guy Tony was dating before Billy. In fact, Michael knows that too, because Michael had just broken up with this
idiot. Had.
And so I've seen Tony with two very different type of guys. And when we were down there, it was really, really good to see Tony again, but something had changed in a really good way about Tony. There was something that seemed more grounded about him. And I felt like he was there chaperoning, that he was sort of there chaperoning Billy. He was just sort of, you remember, he was saying, yeah, I guess I'm just sort of soccer mom for this trip. And he was so, but yeah, my heart goes out to him. He seems to be, he's handling this just beautifully. Like, so, because he understands that it's a community's loss. And he's really treated it as such, in a time where everybody else would rightfully be focusing on their own sorrow, having lost their husband. Yeah, go ahead.
He and Billy both shared a symbiosis that they matched each other. And it wasn't so much chaperoning as complimenting.
You know, well, that's a good way to put it. They were a fantastic couple. They were just bookends, complete bookends. And adorable. Together, it was like they were so gooey. Together, you know what I mean? It's just, you watch Billy just curl up on him. And Tony was, anyway, I'm going to miss him. So anyway, tonight's show will be peppered throughout with memories and stories of two Billy Maines.
And some of them might be bawdy.
Would you like to triple your latest summer? Once
yes.
It's the triple your rebate summer.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd love to triple my rebates.
So, you know, while we're playing commercials, I would like to announce that tonight's show has been brought to you by Tab for Beautiful People.
Here.
Now, I bought...
They embalmed them with them.
I bought a case of Tab because I was... First of all...
When did you get a time-traveling machine?
I got into a time machine. And anyway, I saw it and thought, no, that's hysterical. I definitely have to have it in my refrigerator for chin fat. Try that, Jay. Have a sip.
I've had it. I will pass.
I
too will pass.
Cracked it open and had a sip. Now, I remember it was pretty
horrible. Wait. Give it a sip.
Okay.
Wait. Can you do that one more time?
Uh-huh. I would rather not.
Wait, one more time.
Okay.
Wow.
Tab for beautiful people.
Just one calorie.
Oh my god, that's one more calorie than Diet Coke.
Well,
fuck Tab, and Diet Coke doesn't taste like somebody just shat in your mouth. This is literally like, I remember what Tab tasted like, pretty much, but I thought, okay, yeah, I had a sip. Now I had to go to the bathroom and use the toilet brush to comb my tongue. It literally tastes like a can of saccharin. They haven't changed the formula. You remember when Coke went through, they changed their recipe like 6 or 7 times trying to get that right after 50 years. Tab, no. They've said, you know what? The taste is just as it's supposed to be. We're not going to change the we're not going to change the font on the can or the color. We're going to remind
which just makes me think that in the 70s people didn't have
taste buds.
When I look at this pink can, with the nothing's changed at all.
About 70s font.
And I realize the reason why is that is their way of warning you. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. It's as awful as you remember.
Patrick O'Kerg is listening. There. He said, oh, wonderful. It brings back memories of Grandma sunbathing in the backyard smoking Benson.
Benson and Hedges.
That's, yeah, Benson and Hedges, yes.
But you know what tab is, don't you?
It tastes like goblin ejaculate.
No. Well, yes. But, first of all, Coke...
Pretty sure it's goblin ejaculate.
Coca-Cola is in on the joke of tab now. The company is in on it. That's why they re-released it, because it went away for a long... You couldn't find
it. It did go a long time. Did it?
Yeah,
it did. No, I thought... No, I just assumed that this was a box that's been sitting on the shelf for about 40 years.
No, it went away for a while. But tab was the first
diet
soda.
Oh,
so
really?
So it could have tasted like... dog piss.
It does.
And women still would have drank it. And it was the only thing available for me when I became diabetic.
Really?
And if I wanted a soda, I had to have a tab. So imagine the 8-year-old standing there with a tab. Mmm, delicious.
I feel like somebody said, well, maybe if you'll add a little lemon to it. No.
No.
Maybe
I would remember that tab with lemon.
I would rather drink just a glass full of lemon rind. This is awful.
Well, and our younger listeners may remember when, in Back to the Future, Michael J. Fox shakes into the little restaurant in 1955, and he goes, you want to order something? And he says, yeah, give me a tab.
I remember.
That's right. And he says, I can't give you a tab. You haven't ordered anything.
That's right.
Give me something without sugar, and he hands him a cup of coffee.
Well, I'm now understanding why... Michael J. Fox shakes the way he does. It's from that tab.
Janet Reno drank it all the time, too.
It gave him cancer early. Allegedly, it stands for tasty.
I can't believe we spent this much time talking about tab. So I just have to say.
Cheers to tab.
Just so you know, Tom, when anyone says I have to say, you have to do a shot of whatever you're drinking or smoking.
When we first started doing the show, it was a real problem. We noticed everyone was like,
it would catchphrase.
We would go back and listen to the show at every other person. I just have to say. So now we're punished for it by having a cocktail. Mm-hmm. So, I didn't see you guys last week, so welcome back. Mm-hmm. How is everybody's... What's happened?
Well, let's not forget that the previous week we were short.
Your glasses.
These are not mine. These are Christine's.
Those look really good on you.
Thanks. We have to remember that our glorious producer was not here the preceding week.
That's right. I haven't been so here in 2 weeks.
Yeah, Michael's had a few, three weeks.
Well
this
is
your third.
Will be the third.
Did you have the butt flu again?
I was not butt flu. I was just having one of the things I we'll talk about later, not on this show, but on another show maybe, about anxiety and some things I'm about to be going through. But we'll save that.
Oh my god! Are you gonna finally live your truth?
I'm finally gonna live my truth.
Are you gonna be Michelle Quinn now?
Tell us about your weekend.
I went away with our friend Katie for her birthday. Katie and I normally take, like, once a month, we'll just have a little go somewhere in Florida that's weird or that we've never been. So we'll take trips all over the place, just right here in Florida, because we're right in the middle. So
where was today's adventure?
This weekend, I just got back, we stayed in Punta Gorda.
Now, let me
back
up. Punta
Gorda? How dare you curse?
Punta Gorda?
You left work around 1 o'clock on Friday. So our boss comes over and says, hey, where's Michael? And I was like, oh, he's already left on his little trip. And he goes, oh, well, that's great. Where's he going? And I said, Punta Gorda. And he goes, why?
I know.
Would you do that? There's nothing there.
So. I posted a picture of the main reason I wanted to go to Punta Gorda. The main reason I want to go. Well, one, I've never been. Two, they have a Fountain of Youth. The Fountain of Youth is literally a water, not like a beautiful fountain. This is a spigot on the corner, and it's been there. I don't know for how long. It's all tile. It's just a little tiny tile rectangle with a spigot coming out of it with a big sign on the side that says something special notice, beware This is radioactive water.
So I don't know how to tell you this, but all of your hair has fallen.
I know. Suddenly,
but you look younger.
But you do look younger in spite of the chemotherapy.
It's the chemo water, yeah. But I did take a picture, and I was telling Katie, I'm like, all right, take a picture. I'm going to act like I'm drinking it. And I turned the spigot on and got down close to it. Yeah, it fucking smelled so bad.
It's sulfur.
But my thought is, okay,
it's well water, right? It's sulfur.
No, it doesn't smell like sulfur. It smells like no way worse. It's like it's fucking shit is what it smells like.
That's sulfur water.
No, sulfur has that. Sulfur has that
fart smell.
That like you that egg, that rotten egg smell. This was not. This was rotten shit smell, and it was super strong. And I turned it on. I was like, oh, and I was like, all right, take the picture really quick. And then I thought, wait a minute, there's a big sign saying this is radioactive water, but use at your own risk.
Was that above or below the sign that said, enjoy a tab?
I was trying to say, I bet it didn't taste as bad as tab.
Well, you know what? You're right. It wasn't near as bad as tab, but God.
I don't know. What does tab smell like? Tell me.
Tab? Oh, you know what? That's funny. When you gave me a sip of it earlier, I smelled it.
What does it smell like?
It doesn't smell like soda. It's got a weird smell. A fruity smell.
Really?
Formaldehyde?
Is it fruity? Formaldehyde.
Nope, it just smells like yucky soda.
I don't smell soda. I smell a fruity, but anyways, yeah. We did that, and then we drove down all the way down to Sanibel Island. What?
Nothing.
Sanibel Island and Captiva Island, which, by the way, is going to be our next Airbnb trip.
Sanibel?
Yeah, so anybody wants to go, hop on board now.
Sanibel for
Tom, this you too.
For those of you guys who don't know, Sanibel Island is a little island off the west coast of Florida. And when you go there, it's maybe one of the prettiest beaches I have ever been on.
Beautiful.
It does not even feel like you are in America.
It's near Tampa.
Yeah. It's south of... It's not near Tampa.
It's near
near Fort Myers. It's hours below
Tampa.
People
that are in
Arkansas, I don't know where Fort Myers is. Southwest Florida. And there's not, other than Fort Myers, there's nothing else there but Everglades. So... yeah, but it's cool. It's beautiful.
For our people listening from outside of Florida, the West Coast, also known as the Gulf Coast of Florida, is also referred to as God's waiting room.
Oh, it is, yeah.
Because you've got to be like 80 or older to live on that side of the Florida state.
Yeah.
Yes, and that is where I went to see Bette Midler back in
Speaking of the God's waiting room.
And she called it the land of newlyweds and nearly deads.
Yeah, she started her show like that.
Oh, yeah. I believe it.
The Detour Tour.
Yes, I saw that.
The Detour.
Ain't nobody
Detour.
To get
That's
anywhere.
Right. The last time I saw her, she said, she asked how many people drove here tonight, and there was an applause, and she says, I'm so happy so many of you can still drive at night. I was the youngest person, I'm 42, and I was the youngest person in that crowd. She said, you know, back in the 70s, all my audience used to be on drugs, now they're on medication. They've gotten a bit long in the tooth.
Now, is Bruce Valanche still writing for her?
Sure is, yeah. Big fan. And if, for those of you who might not know who Bruce Valanche is,
you
really need to, yeah. Used to be Center Square for a while on Hollywood Squares, looked like a Muppet. Like
big fat Muppet.
Big fat beard.
Doesn't he still look like a Muppet?
He still would, but
he shaved his beard off.
And curly hair, usually an ironic t-shirt.
Page boy.
Yeah. He's written for everybody. He's written for Robin Williams. He's written for Whoopi Goldberg, for Bette Midler, for Billy Crystal.
He wrote the Star Wars
he always writes
holiday special.
He's going to be remembered for.
That's
not the Oscars. He'll be remembered for the Star Wars
holiday special.
Say what you will, bitch. He could go to a Comic-Con and have a fucking line out the door.
Yes,
he could
for that. That's true.
I saw him in the when they opened the national touring production of Hairspray, he was in it. And I caught him in Newark. Who plays in Newark? He was so good. And they'd given him free reign to improvise a little bit to the show. But the show was him and Charlotte Crosley, who was one of Bette Midler's harlots, played Motormouth. What was her name?
Motormouth Maybell.
And And then sitting behind me was Christine Ebersole and Lynn Hart, who was also a harlot at one point, and I was sitting with one of the harlots' families. So it was lit, and it was written by Mark Shaman, so the whole thing was like a bit another group. So let's throw a show. Mm. He was fantastic. He was amazing.
He also worked with Mae West. Which, yes, he worked with Mae West. As a matter of fact, when I was with Michael and helped Michael out with working with Bruce Valanche when he did a PSA.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I had a chance to talk to him then, and I had said, now I understand that you had the wonderful opportunity to work with Mae West. He said, I knew her very well. He said he got to know her, and I guess we became friends. And the one thing I said to him, just for me personally, is I said, I have always in my life said that when I die, she's going to be the first person I get a chance to meet. She's going to meet me. I know she is. And he said she would have liked you. And she didn't like a lot of women. So that was the best compliment that I could have ever gotten. And it came from Bruce Valanche, who would know. So I thought that was really
cool. Well, Phil, I've got to ask you something. Now, I thought of you over the weekend.
Yes?
On Amazon Prime. Do you have Amazon Prime?
Yes, I do.
Have you seen Bette Davis meets...
When Bette met Mae.
We talked about that.
I own it. Yes.
Oh, it's... That was... I couldn't watch it.
Why?
Because there was... Because they were sort of lip-syncing a recording, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's kind of like Drunk History.
Yeah, it's sort of...
It's not really, but real.
However, the lady who... They had playing Mae West. They costumed and through costume and makeup and her mannerisms were kind of outstanding.
Yeah.
Kind of outstanding rather than being a caricature of her. Also, the lady who played Bette Davis was good, not as good as Mae West, though. But
well,
there was something very strange about watching people lip sync an old tape recorder.
And the thing is that part, I agree with you on. It was really bizarre to watch that. But to me, the most amazing thing was, is we were listening to a conversation that was never meant to be heard.
Yeah.
And it was an honest conversation. And the fact that Bette Davis, one of the gentlemen, brought up something about them being strong women and Bette Davis making the remark about being a lesbian... and saying, well, you know, I had my friends, or whatever. She made some remark that was kind of like, oh, well, that's interesting. Thanks a lot. But if you don't like listening or watching them try to lip sync, it is amazing to listen to the conversation happen. Like I said, something that was never meant to be heard.
It was kind of a fascinating conversation. I think I would rather listen to it than watch it, though.
You know who loved Mae West?
Who?
Billy Mains.
Did he?
I just thought we'd bring it
back. Oh, bring it back to Billy.
Well, we should probably go to our first break, but...
Well, before we go to our first break, I just want to really introduce Tom Bland, who is now in the...
Yay, Tom! He's cleaning up everything.
And like that, he disappeared.
So, let's go ahead and go to...
Sorry, we didn't know you were getting up. Now he's back.
Hi there.
Well, this is... Pet Shop Boys. So their new album.
Not yet.
No, shut up.
Jay's ready to go to break.
Well, we're going to come back from break.
No, but talk to intro him. Yeah.
You know what? Go ahead, Tom. So, welcome to the table.
Good evening.
No, what should our listeners?
That went so smooth. You know what? Let's just go to break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk to Tom.
There you go.
Great.
This is off of the Pet Shop Boys' new album. It's called Groovy. It was a favorite of Billy's.
All right, here we go. We'll be back in just a few...
All right, Tom, go ahead and tell us a little...
Hold on.
Go ahead, Tom, and tell us a little bit.
Would you stop? No, I'm not looking
for
that.
There was this time.
You know what? Oh, my God. You know what?
Put the
Is our audience hearing you go, oh, my God, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute? All right, shut up.
This is Ginger Minge, and you're listening to the Full of Grace Show. She's full of something. Look at me, I'm just so look at me, I'm just so look at me.
look at me. I'm just so look at me. I'm just so groovy.
Because of what I saw under that scarecrow suit on the set of The Wiz is why I was called to testify at Michael Jackson's...
Was it spotted?
What?
We're back. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
God, guys.
Whom are we listening to?
That was a favorite of Billy Mayne's. Pet Shop Boys. Ever heard of them? They've been around for 30-something years. It was off their new album. It was called... Groovy. It was called Groovy. It was off their new album, Super, and this track was called Groovy.
Tell me more about the Pet Smart Boys.
Pet Smart Boys was... it was two teenagers, and they got a job at a Pet Smart.
That's great.
Pretty much it.
And now they have a band. Is it a band, or is it like NSYNC?
It's a band.
Yeah.
Like the Monkees.
Yes, there was guitars and drums and
just
all that.
Just like the Monkees.
Who plays guitar?
Ralph.
No.
No.
Not going anywhere.
It's Neil and Chris from the Pet Shop Boys.
So, Billy...
That's hilarious. So, Billy Mayne's story, Tom.
Billy Mayne's stories. Do you want a Pet Shop Billy Mayne story?
Yes.
Whatever you'd like.
Did we already find out who Tom is and, like, what you do?
Tell us a little bit about yourself and why you would like to be Miss North Carolina.
Well, from what I remember about the Reconstruction and saving ISIS, I'm supposed to shave my privates.
Let me interrupt you. You're supposed to start that with, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, distinguished panel of judges. I'm contestant number 2, Tom Bland.
For the Miss Continental Extra Large.
For your consideration. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
For your consideration, yes.
Tom, so Billy Mayne's.
I knew of Billy long before I met him through his writing through Orlando Weekly.
And how long was he with Orlando Weekly?
15 and a half years.
Wow.
He started in ad sales, and then he freelanced, and then they gave him a column that morphed into another column that morphed into covering the city council, and still another column.
So, before you get into your story, explain what you're talking about with him covering, because this is something about Billy Mayne's I did not know until after he passed. Was his covering the city council meeting.
He was brilliant.
Oh, he was
They
brutal.
Said it was literally, it was like watching him live blog a city council meeting, and that it was absolutely hilarious.
Well, he was smart. He would go out and he would have a notepad, and he would, when I first met him in 2005, he had like a little sketch pad, and he would be walking around, and he would eyeball you, and he'd write something down, and you'd make talk with him, and he may or may not write something down. Mm-hmm. And once he knew you, he would write about you in sometimes flattering, sometimes not so flattering terms, but it was just real and authentic and just Billy.
Sort of a Michael Musto type.
Very, yeah. Very. He covered the nightlife. He covered the scene. My favorite was he and Taylor went out on a St. Patrick's Day in the search of the red pubic hair in the urinal. And that's when I decided that I was in love with him.
Oh, well, what's your favorite story?
My favorite story was Billy. Is I got tickets to Paul McCartney. Mm-hmm. And I was on, he was driving back from the beach with Taylor. And I texted him, I'm like, do you want to go see Paul McCartney? And he's like, oh my fucking God, I can't believe it. I'm like, I got you a ticket, you're in. So we go to the venue, we're on the floor, he's
did
up in the
say,
stands.
Don't tell Taylor sitting next to you.
It's okay, shh. So Billy has this red and white check shirt that's synonymous with him. So my roommate, there's nobody next to us on the floor, goes and gets him and brings him back. So on his favorite song, it was he and Alan's song, Baby I'm Amazed, he made it to the center of the floor and we got to experience the concert together with him dancing in a sea of like 80,000 people and his phone blowing up because they can all see him in the black lights dancing. Oh, it was beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, he was absolutely shameless.
He was just beautiful.
Like he was, you know, you always hear people say like dance like nobody's watching, that sort of thing. He was that guy, totally.
Billy didn't care if people watched or not.
Nope.
He was going to write about it and live his life the way it was supposed to be. And that was just what was so amazing about him.
He sure did. Well, what about you? Do you have any... Christine?
Yes?
Any stories?
Oh my gosh. Well, I knew Billy from my best friend, Scotty Pitts. And so that's how I met Billy. And that was sometime in the 80s. And when I heard about
the 80s, was Billy like 12?
Yeah.
About.
Okay. Yeah.
Wait, he was 45 when he passed.
He was 45 when. Well, that's.
He was a baby.
And we graduated college this almost. I graduated a year after him. So when I saw that, I thought, oh my God, how old was Billy?
Yeah, but he and Scotty, they were always, they would always party hard, and they knew how to have a good time, and they, you know, kind of went all out. And when I had heard about Billy, I said, my God, there's going to be a party tonight with Scotty and Billy hanging out. Oh, my God, because they would just blow it up. If you were ever in the presence of both of them, there was going to be every kind of vice that you could ever imagine being partaken or whatever, turducken. But yeah, and just to sit down and just talk to him was just the best thing. And especially if he was under the influence of something, it was even better because he could be kind of shy when he wasn't and kind of quiet.
Yeah, that was something.
I've seen him shy. Yeah, mm-hmm. I've seen him shy. Like, I've been to some things with Taylor where he's been there and he hardly says a word. He kind of just would sit in the corner. Not in the corner, but he would kind of back away and mm-hmm. let everything go on around him.
A lot of times you could tell if he was wearing the sunglasses, he was in journalism mode.
Mm-hmm.
And if he was not, he was real. But he was still always observing and listening and watching and getting a sense of everything.
Well, Billy, what some of, I guess the listeners don't know, Billy was my boss, was one of my bosses. I write for Watermark, and he was editor up until just before he passed. And so the week before he passed, we had just had, that Sunday, I'd had a business lunch with him before Full of Grace. And that was the first time I'd seen him since we got back from D.C., and it was very much a work meeting. So I got to, that's the first time I've ever seen that side of him. It was still very cordial. It was very fun. It was a nice, you know, it was a nice lunch. But what was so interesting about him was I think I write pretty well. And he was a fan of how I wrote. But he had given me, rather than just saying, write about whatever you want, he had come to me with a request that I write a 4,000-word article, like a full article that Watermark had been wanting for apparently over a year on drag families and drag mothers and that sort of thing. And having just lost my own drag mother, I thought, well, the timing's great. Let's do that. So, where was I going with this? Oh, but as my boss, I saw that side of him. During that meeting, I also saw a side of him that was, like you were saying, that was a little shy. You know, we'd had a lunch 3 weeks prior in D.C. But he sat me down and said, okay, now when you write this, make an outline. And I was like, Billy, if I'm writing an article, I know how to, I know to make an outline. Like, I know how to write. It's been a couple decades since I've been in school, but I understand. It's like, okay, but here's how I want you to approach, make these points. And then he was basically teaching me how to be a journalist rather than just an Irma Bombeck type, you know. He was saying, here's how to do this. He was really good about that, about fostering that sort of, I've seen him do it with other people, and I thought, oh, it just breaks my heart, because I thought, oh my God, I'm going to be such a better writer now that I'm working with Billy Maynes. And that's gone. It's an opportunity gone. I'm still.
But that doesn't mean you're not going to be a better writer.
I did get a call from Watermark though, from someone at Watermark this weekend asking me, are you still up for doing that article? They still want it. And I'm very excited about that, because I started writing it and then everything happened. So it's not in vain anyway. Hilarious, am I right? Well, how much time do we have before next break, or do we have time?
We've got over 15 minutes.
That's great. Do you want to go ahead and to Gaily Dispatch? There is much to cover.
Well, sure. Let's do that. Why are all of my things different?
Why is it? Put down the tiara and pick up a mop, because we're about to spill the tea in today's
Gaily Dispatch.
I don't even know where to start.
Reclaiming my time.
We have
reclaiming my time.
Maxine Waters.
Reclaiming my time. Reclaiming my time.
Oh, okay. Well, here's the thing. Now, recently, what you don't know, Tom, is after the election. Specifically since the inauguration, every week it is just some new fresh hell with Donald Trump that we're talking about. And we got into the point where we were like, we can't do this anymore. We can't with Trump. So we're only going to discuss it when something completely balls to the wall happens. And this week, we not only saw the clown car, there came another, I'm sorry?
Do you want to hear it?
Just a second. There came another giant shoe out of the clown car, and out stepped this guy, and then one of the clowns had to get back in the car. But what are you talking about? Scaramouche?
No. I thought you were going to her.
Oh, to Maxine Waters. So yes,
reclaiming
Maxine Waters. We were listening to this before this show, and Maxine Waters is in a congressional hearing, and she has absolutely zero fucks to give. I wish so badly that they would allow her to moderate the presidential debate, because she'd be like, no, that's not the question.
Mm-hmm.
Answered the question. So go ahead and play it.
Is there some reason why I did not get a response to the letter that I sent May 23rd?
So, Ranking Member Waters, first of all, let me thank you for your service to California. Being a resident of California, I appreciate everything that
thank
you've
you
done
very much,
for the community.
I don't want to take my time.
I also have appreciated the opportunity.
All right, wait. What is she barking at?
Because Cha-Cha's here.
Cha-Cha's in the house.
All right, everyone, quiet again.
And you did meet
reclaiming my time.
Several times.
Reclaiming my time.
When we were doing our...
Reclaiming my time.
The time belongs to the gentlelady from California.
Let me just say to you, thank you for your compliments about how great I am, but I don't want to waste my time on me. I want to know about the May 23rd letter. You know about it? Why did you not respond to me and my colleagues?
I was going to answer that.
Just please go straight to the answer.
Mr. Chairman, I thought when you read the rules, you acknowledged that I shouldn't be interrupted and that I would have
reclaiming my time. What he failed to tell you was when you're on my time, I can reclaim it. He left that out, so I'm reclaiming my time. Please, will you respond to the question of why I did not get a response, me and my colleagues, to the May 23rd letter?
Well, I was going to tell you my response.
Just tell me.
Okay, so first of all, okay, let me just say that the Department of Treasury has cooperated extensively with the Senate Intel Committee, with the House Intel Committee, with the Senate Judiciary
Committee.
Okay, matter of fact,
Mr. Secretary, the time belongs to the gentlelady from California.
Perhaps, Mr. Chairman, I don't understand the rules because
reclaiming
I thought I was allowed to answer questions.
Reclaiming my time. Would you please explain the rules and do not take that away from my time?
She is not going to put up with your shit, ladies and gentlemen. Maxine Waters.
That's Maxine Waters 2020.
Oh, my Lord, I love her. All right, so where do we start?
Well, first, I want to say I agree with Tom what he said earlier. I would love for her to run for president.
Oh, God.
Can you imagine?
That's exactly who we need. You know, when you hear the people who voted for Trump specifically, that was what they all had the one thing in common was just to say, Cha-Cha's here.
Oh, by the way, Cha-Cha! Yay!
And Cha-Cha's here. Cha-Cha, help yourself to a tab. They're delicious.
They're for the beautiful people.
The sponsor tonight.
We're going to take a picture of you with that later.
Oh, God. No, she opened one on purpose.
You really did?
Yeah.
Have you ever drank it before?
Yes, I've not eaten one, but I drank one.
You might as well eat it. It tastes like shit.
No, it's nostalgia.
It's nostalgia tastes like shit.
So, Maxine Waters for president. The idea of having a black woman for president, of course, just...
will never happen, but...
thrills me to no end, but you always heard from the Trump supporters, especially in the beginning of his campaign, I'm voting for him because he says what he's thinking. He says what's on his mind, and he says what he wants, and I thought... there's the woman who can give you that.
Yeah.
And not lie about it.
And make sense and be fucking smart about it.
No, and she has shown throughout all of these hearings, she's shown she absolutely does not care what they think.
Do you remember when she had to go speak about the Senate or about the Congress? And she just got up on the mic and she said, they're all a bunch of crooks. Goodbye.
I waste words.
Water's out. I love her. Well, speaking of crooks.
Oh.
So, speaking of out, Sean Spicer.
Spicy, bye-bye.
Spicy's gone. But in his place, we have Huckabee also joining the squad, doing the Fandango. is Tony Spaghetti or Scaramucci or what? Moot.
The Moot.
The Moot.
Which
the
is, by the way... what he asked to be called.
Yes.
Of course he did.
I don't think he understands that mooch.
Yeah.
We get it. You are, in fact, a mooch.
Yeah.
All I see when he opens his mouth is a Mario Cantone.
Well, one of our fans, Robert Hillier, posted about it the day that the mooch showed up. He said, Mario Cantone must play him on SNL, and sure as shit, if
he's on Comedy Central,
the President Show. Yeah, he's, and I was like, wow. And yes, he is.
Oh my Lord. Well, here's the best part. All right, so, well, not the best part.
It is kind of the best part.
He has come into this administration, like, even Trump cannot hold a candle to the tornado this guy is. Like, he comes in, hey, everybody, the mooch is here. Dave, or, you know, Bannon's. Trying to suck his own dick, and I'm not like that. And it's like, whoa, he's not even going to pretend to have it. And I would want to remind you, he's our communications director.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Talking about someone on the administration trying
to suck
his own dick.
Well, they left the last one out in the rain.
But then you mention this, and then the supporters say, you know, he's just very passionate.
Which our producer, our illustrious producer, Michael O'Quinn, loves that passionate comment because that means that
Oh, you saw my post. I was like, good. Now when I call you a fucking cunt, then I'm just being passionate.
You're not an asshole. You're just being
any Trump supporter's a fucking cunt. And now I can say it, and I don't have to feel bad about it.
Ladies and gentlemen, the slander starts here.
Sponsored by TAP.
And this show is uncensored.
Rebecca, I'm so sorry for your daughters having to listen to this, because they no doubt are just... you know, hovering around the radio,
like in the
for warmth and listening to for
what's
warmth,
next,
listening to talk of a Trump administration. So Scaramouche, all right. So he's by the way, his wife files for
divorce. I know,
and she's 9 months pregnant, and she's like, I'm out. I can't do it. I'm out.
If Billy were here this week, his head would literally be exploding with things to just. Say, where do you start?
I'm so glad you said that.
I mean, pick any one of the 13 crazy ass things that happened this week, and Billy would be like, I don't fucking know where to spin the pointer.
That's so true, because right after Billy's death, something, because it happens every day now, I can't remember, but something came up, and I was like, oh, if he only would have still been here for this one.
I can think of a couple people in my life that I have lost in the last 2 years. Billy and my friend Brandon, both activists, writers, mm-hmm. Both really great writers, and every day when I see something like this, that's when I miss them the most.
There's
like,
a void.
What would Brandon say now? It's what would Brandon and Billy say about this, and so I'm going to do my best to fill that void, ladies and gentlemen.
I think we all should do that. I think that's what Billy's kind of left behind for
us
to do.
I think that you're exactly right,
I think
Michael.
We all really need to pay attention in our own ways, and everybody has different ways to do this. And you and I have talked about this. I think there's different ways to talk to different people mm-hmm. and to get things through to people. So whatever your way is, fucking do it.
Like I said at the vigil, everyone was sharing their favorite stories, and I got up and said, you know, I could... tell you a story about most of the people at that vigil also were just fans. They didn't, most of the people there did not know him personally. And I said, I could tell you stories. I could tell you what I know about him. What I would rather do is basically use his passing as a call to action. Billy did a lot of work for Orlando, especially LGBT Orlando, so that we didn't have to. Well, he's gone now. So we've all got to, none of us can fill that void. We'll all have to pitch in. And I really got a feeling from, and I'm still getting a feeling, you just go to his wall or whatnot, you see that everyone sort of is thinking that. They're like, well, all right.
I think so.
We've got to get to work. And, he was a good organizer, whether he knew it or not.
The thing I think he would want everybody to remember is there's all activism. And if you're a quiet activist, you're not going to make too much noise. So if you raise your voice and speak your truth and tell people what's really going on in unvarnished terms for people, everybody, mm-hmm. they'll get it. They'll just get it.
I think it's so important. What you just said is very true, but it's so important to remember there are some people that you can get this message through to in a different way. And that's something I'm learning. I think we're all learning. Mm-hmm. That it sometimes there's a different way to do it, and I love your way, Divine Grace. I love your way of doing it, but a lot of people, we have to figure out a way to get through to them that are not going to listen to you telling it that way. And I'm trying to do that. I'm really making an effort, like online. Although you see, I'll get on there at this point, I don't fucking care anymore about fucking what I say on Facebook when it comes to this, but I think the girls are making love.
I think they're having like lesbian,
they are.
Lesbian dogs.
They are. Speaking of lesbian dogs, Cha-Cha brought Dee Dee. I didn't mean you were a dog. That really was horrible.
That was a terrible segue.
Bad transition.
It's almost like the time.
No. Well, you're not a lesbian, and you're definitely not.
Your mug looks great.
Thank you.
Where have you been today, Cha-Cha?
Honey, we're on radio, not TV.
Oh, she just wanted to hit on me one last time.
I just wanted to try to impress you gay boys.
Yes.
Oh, that's right.
Hold on.
What the?
Full stop.
What the?
I'm just saying.
Those are the only ones I got dressed up for.
MJ.
Oh, God, not the straight one.
Hi!
Hi, how are you?
I forgot you were straight.
That's all right. Everybody does.
I forgot I was straight, or he was straight. Yeah. I forgot that, you know.
Everybody forgets that I'm straight. It's okay.
Where were you at today?
I was at the Florida Wedding Expo.
Oh, that's right.
Happening at the Orange County Convention Center. So I was there since 10 a.m.
Yuck.
And then got out at, like, 5-ish, and then hadn't eaten really, so I had to eat. And then I came here.
Cha-Cha, you look very,
Asian?
No, well, no, you actually look kind of, invigorated. You look as something happened
happy.
To you
What's
recently.
New happened?
What's
what
new?
Happened?
You look
you
really,
seem, you seem like
you
a,
have a glow about you. Are
like
you
a
pregnant?
Like a gigantic weight has been lifted from your shoulders.
Well, I have recently resigned from my position as wardrobe supervisor from a company here in Orlando.
I love how we always talk about it like we're a guest on Wheel of Fortune. I work for a large costume supplier in Central Florida. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, so I'm basically working on being my own boss full time now. So.
That's awesome. Yay!
Thank you.
Well, that's great.
And what,
you know,
what kind of work will you be doing as your own boss?
I am starting an internship so I can become a fully licensed and certified makeup artist.
Yeah.
And then I will also be working on starting my own collection for pinup wear and also things for like Comic-Con, MegaCon, all the
If you need somebody to give you feedback on the pinup wear...
Got you, because you're not gay.
Jay is nothing.
That's what,
he's an expert.
I've been appealing to the wrong market this whole time.
I mean,
not an expert.
Have you seen her pinup, by the way? Have you seen hers?
No.
You need to see. Oh, Jay. I mean, you're the straight one here. You'll be, yeah. Yeah, we won't give you hard
Get a
copies,
tub of Vaseline and send me into a bathroom. For
yeah.
I
kind of do it, too.
But that's just normal, I think.
I know.
For you.
I jerk off to anything.
Usually on playgrounds.
Right. Yeah.
With tab.
On the teeter totter. In the right hand.
And then bring it back to Billy Mays, and then we'll all be together.
Right, yeah.
Billy Mays loved tab. Mm-hmm. Little people didn't know that. The little known fact about Billy Mays is he loved tab.
See, actually... Allegedly, he dried it out and snorted it.
He would
there you
dry
go.
It out. He would bake it.
Atta girl.
Okay.
Like Special K.
Atta girl.
So what are we about to listen to?
We're going
to
listen to Duran Duran. This is Save a Prayer, another favorite from Billy.
Shave a Hair by Duran Duran.
Corner of a main street, and the lights.
And I was in rehearsal, and they brought Mandy Patinkin in. Right. And that's why I never got to go on and bring into noise, bring into fuck.
Oh my God, we're back.
Oh, we're back.
Sorry. That was Durin Durin?
Durin Durin.
That's the, did I pronounce it right? Durin Durin?
You've got it correct, sir.
Durin Ma'am. Squared.
Anyone want to know where that came from? That name?
Durin Durin, no.
Yes, I know where it came from.
Do you?
Straight Please. Guy knows.
Oh my God, the straight guy knows. Nobody say a word. I want to hear this.
Barbarella.
Yes! Dr. Durin Durin.
So here's something interesting that, so actually, as the listeners might have gathered, Billy Maynes was a huge Durin Durin fan. The day after he passed, they posted on Twitter, Durin Durin. Posted of his passing on Twitter. So it, if he had been buried at that point, he would have been rotating in his grave like a chicken on a spit.
And then Alice Amoye.
How awesome is that?
Yeah. Alice Amoye tweeted him. Crowded House tweeted him. He was on NPR.
Yeah.
Ali Shapiro. He was in The Stranger in Portland. He made San Francisco. He made The Washington Blade.
Yep.
Cindy from the B-52s came and performed and did and dedicated it to him or something.
Because his last full interview was with her.
Wow.
Yeah, I we should all be so lucky to have made that sort of impact.
For sure.
I mean, you know I'm a star fucker anyway, but that's kind of awesome. That's really sort of
the
awesome.
Ripples he caused reverberated across the United States.
I don't think he understood that.
I think he did.
I don't think he understood it.
Do you think he knew to that extent?
Absolutely. I think.
Go ahead.
I think after Pulse, it just, everybody saw the point of the prism.
I was not friends with Billy. In fact, I only met him twice. I only spoke to him once. But his impact was so vast that my mother, who our listeners will remember from Mother's Day, had actually asked me if I knew him.
Wow.
That was the first time I'd ever heard his name. And the one time I did meet him, he presented me with my award for DJ of the Year, and he was so gracious and polite and spent the time that I needed or that I needed to express myself, and especially in an event that was that busy and crowded, that he was able to stop for 5 minutes and just give me those 5 minutes. Very, very wonderful, gracious man.
What event was that?
The Watermark Awards.
The Wave And Awards. It was busy and crowded?
At the Abbey. It was quite crowded.
Okay. So what were you going to say about these stencils?
First of all, I'd like to let Orlando know that on the 30th of August, there's going to be a memorial celebration for him at the Beach.
That's great.
Great.
It's going to be 2,000 plus people to celebrate his life and his love and everything he brought to us.
That's great.
To keep amplifying his message. Yeah. We have a wonderful lady named Rachel Gardner.
Yeah.
Who has done a stencil and t-shirts to benefit Billy Maynes and what's going to become of Mr. Maynes' vision. Mm-hmm. There's already things in movement for that. There's t-shirts and decals for your car. They're available at Go Big Marketing, which is at 1221 Hillcrest, mm-hmm. which is on the corner of Hillcrest and Mills, mm-hmm. category from Colonial and Photo and Hobby.
If so, they're not here in Orlando, where can they get them?
That's Go Big Marketing. That's 1221 Hillcrest Street.
I ordered a t-shirt today, so I'll post that.
Me
on
too.
Full of Grace.
I got two.
Yeah, I spoke with her today, and they do mention this on the website, but the proceeds from all of this is basically going to Billy's husband, Tony, to be delegated to the resources.
The
charities and resources he sees fit.
Which is Planned Parenthood, the Equality Florida, and, Planned Parenthood.
God's Love We Delivered.
No. Pride Fund to End Gun Violence.
Oh.
That's the third one, I'm sorry.
I thought it was NAMBLA.
NAMBLA.
No. If you saw his Pacheco speech, he was 8 years old, covered in tinsel and incest. I don't think he would have done
it. He was, because he had lost his husband to suicide and to a gun, and then of course with Pulse. So he was vehemently, vehemently anti-gun and very vocal about it. Look at this. She is cracking me up. This cutest little Dee Dee. Chihuahua, little Dee Dee.
She's a crackhead.
All right, so back to Gaily Dispatch. Let me see. So when last we were talking about Scaramouche.
Scaramucci.
Can you do
is
the
it Scaramucci or Scaramouche?
Scaramucci.
Scaramucci, but I call him Tony Spaghetti because it's just easier.
He looks like to me like they found a video of somebody who auditioned for like the CBS version of The Sopranos.
Or Goodfellas.
Okay, he is such
like
a,
not wasn't good enough to get the part.
He's such a cliche
cartoon. He's a cartoon.
It's like it's just yeah, just smarmy, greasy. Like oh, it's like you. You could, well, you could.
He's from Central Casting.
Here, this is Tab. Yeah. Buy it and drink it.
Oh. Does it not feel like some... I mean, we've been saying this, but now really, does like it not really feel like a reality show? Like you have... You've got the Guido character. Mm-hmm. You've got the fucking retarded turd. You've
got, you've got... Ew! Ew, what's the matter, you?
You've got all these characters. Double it's like a reality show.
I think... Well, first of all, I think that... You have, let's back up. If you go, if you look him up on YouTube, one of the first things you will see
is him bashing.
Is him bashing Trump?
Yeah.
Just a few months ago, talking about how this is, the administration's a joke and da da da. And of course, there's everyone has a price.
And that's why Mrs. Scaramucci said she was divorcing him because his ambition was
just. But now we had the same thing with Kellyanne Crackhorse. She did. She was not a Trump correct. Supporter before.
But you say everybody has a price. No one goes into public office for the money.
Ah, but ah. That's exactly it. No, he's a he was what a hedge fund
manager,
a mogul. So he's not doing this for the money.
Right.
We always say people. follow the money. He's doing his damnedest to get his foot through the political door, because that's where all the power is.
And with all the power comes the money. So yes, it is all about money. That's all it's about. The decisions that are made, no matter what they are, and every time I will speak up about any of this, it's what I say all the time. It's all about money and it's all about power.
Get the power. Get the money. Get the girl.
Well, he lost the girl. You know who else lost? And this is, I'm sorry, but I just, watching Meet the Press this morning was just laughing my fat Panda ass off. Rince Priebus.
Yes.
Oh, Lord. Rince Priebus! Yeah, week after week after week, I would see him on Meet the Press trying to make some sort of an excuse. Very calm. Like, there was something really snotty about him. But really, like, you know, it was always...
It's that condescending Republican.
Yes, right? and Chuck Todd would always...
It's adorable you think the president...
Yes, no, but he knows what he's doing, and Chuck Todd would say, all right, now look, this week, blah, 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 that's outrageous. And no, the president knows what he's doing. Well, he was fired. And not only was he was fired through Twitter.
And he was fired. They kicked him out of the car and left him in the rain. So this morning it was like watching a naked man asking you for a paper towel to cover their junk so they could walk home the morning after they lost their shit.
Did you see the article? So there was an article written, I posted it for New York Magazine, and the photograph, look at this. It's a picture of him in the car.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
A silhouette of Trump's profile, which, by the way, he's looking more like a bullfrog.
Mm.
Like that double chin is just getting more and more waddled. Loaded.
That goozle.
It's waddled, yeah. Anyway, and then there's Rince Priebus looking. The camera caught him just as he's looking at the photographer with a look on his face like, I'm pretty sure this is where I get butt raped.
Pure despair.
He looks like, what's his guts at the end of Wag the Dog? When they put him in the car and Dustin Hoffman at the end of Wag the Dog. That's what he looks like.
Oh, I'm...
Like he's going to go be killed.
So, we all know, first of all, and I just caught something this morning where Trump had made at some speech was talking about how in some ways he might be the best president ever
since Abraham Lincoln.
Except for Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
Yeah. He literally, I think I'm kind of the best president.
Not the worst president ever. The best president ever.
That he thinks he's already entitled to be on Rushmore. I'm reclaiming my time.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Exactly.
I am, this is not going to be a popular opinion at this table, But I would like to see Donald Trump on Mount Rushmore and someone behind him pushing.
Yes.
I'd like to see him fall off of Mount Rushmore. I'm trying to wrap my head around, like, is he...
Shortest?
Is that his... Does he... excuse me for a second. Does he really believe that, or is that part of his shtick to get everybody else to believe it? And I think it's a little of column A and a little of column B.
Yeah.
Like, we all know he's perhaps the greatest narcissist that I've ever seen. Certainly that I have ever seen. Ever. And that's saying a lot. In this time, in this day of entitled Americans, that's saying a lot. But as we've said on this show over and over, it's like their shtick is so transparent. It's like they're not even trying to hide it. And you realize when we were talking months ago during the campaign, when he was saying, I could, you know, go out on Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody and get away with
and
it.
And not lose any supporters.
He was not joking. He could. He really. We know. Like,
well,
no, he
you've got to also remember what he has really managed to do, and this is very obvious too. Is he has managed to manipulate his audience? We'll say the stupid half of the country.
No, call him what he called him, the uneducated.
Yes, the uneducated,
the poorly.
He has
educated.
Managed to manipulate them to think that any news you hear that's negative about me is not real. And there are people that you've seen it. They're like, not listening to the news anymore. Only listening to him and
well,
his tweets.
There is a that is a an actual that's an actual strategy.
That's a strategy.
That's
yes,
that has been used before, hundreds of times. It's basically media fatigue.
Trust me, I know con artists. I know what you
where
mean.
They will wear you out. Fatigue, mm-hmm. And so everyone says, I'm not turning on the news anymore. The election's over. I'm not watching the news. I'm turning it on. It's like that's exactly what they're hoping for.
You've
got to pay attention. You have to pay attention.
And he constantly lies. Every day he lies.
Yeah.
Every day there is now fake news. Something that he developed himself is now done by everyone. Now we should all know this. That anytime you want to put something out that's not real, you're just going to say, no, that's what I know and that's what I believe.
Well, let's talk about his lies.
Well, that's the thing. I want to say something. I posted something earlier this week about this.
You know what,
let me
enter that.
Oh, I know you're okay.
Let me enter that. So also in the news this week, Donald Trump tweeted a declaration that an advancement Barack Obama had made in allowing transgender men and women into the United States military, he was now going to repeal that the 15,000 people who currently, 15,000 trans people who currently are active in an active service in the United States military are no longer going to be welcome because basically...
Why did he say he did that?
Because the sex changes were too expensive.
But who did he talk to?
That he spoke with the Pentagon.
He spoke with his generals.
His generals
his military
and...
chiefs.
Military chiefs. Okay.
And
within a 12-hour period, they came out and said, no, he didn't. And no, we have never had this discussion.
We didn't talk to him.
So... That's not fake news.
They stepped
That's
forward,
a lie.
They stepped forward, the Pentagon stepped forward and said, we have no, and this was in a tweet, we do not know what he's talking about. There has been no change made. Please do not send us any more of your questions. Direct all questions directly to the White House. The Pentagon said this. Please direct all of your questions and concerns to the White House.
By the way, it's day 190 something and still no ISIS plans.
Yeah.
Right. And I think the generals are actually his three balls.
Yes, exactly.
When he's sitting on the crapper, he's talking to his generals.
Well, so, you know, and of course, immediately, you've got, like, I was immediately like, you've got to be kidding me, you can't do this to transgender people, and then the other half is saying, calm down.
He can't
do that.
He can't do it.
That'll never happen. But notice, while we were all sitting around talking about that, listening to people like Calpurnia Adams and Laverne Cox give their two cents and wax poetic, nobody was talking about Russia.
Yeah.
Nobody was talking about Kushner. Nobody was talking about the investigation that he is dead set on pretending isn't happening. That he keeps saying, no, there's no investigation. They're like, there are congressional hearings currently going, yes, it's happening, whether you say it or not.
Did you run into this on Facebook or anywhere? Where you, when you finally reach that point of saying this is a This is a distraction. I had people that were, and I understand what they're saying, but people were like getting mad at me because I was saying it was a distraction. And I said, look, this is a distraction. They were getting mad because of what he said. And I said, yes, get mad, but just know that's not going to happen. He can't just tweet it and boom, it's done. That's not how this works. And he is distracting you from, bam, something happening within, what, a few hours?
Well, not only distracting us from it, but rallying his base.
Well, yeah.
Oh, God, the base is getting mad at me because I haven't done anything. Oh, can I throw him a bone? Well, we hate the queers.
And we're back to the wedge issue of the 1980s, except this time it's not Reagan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this time, hopefully, we won't allow people to divide us like that.
Let me pull this open. Oh, well, so then after... all of this happens, the next clown popping out of the car was Caitlyn Jenner, who seemed very upset with Donald Trump. Said, you know, I cannot believe... You know, this is someone who was just saying in an interview that she was secretly working behind the scenes with Trump on LGBT issues. You know, somebody else I haven't heard a damn peep from is Ivanka Trump, who just posted, you know, just a couple weeks ago about how she supports LGBT people and she will always stand up for you. And then this happens and crickets. Not a word. Where are you, Ivanka? Like, is it not bring your daughter to work day this week? So.
And on the trans military thing, there was a meme that went around that had people divided with Klinger in a dress.
Oh, yeah.
And they didn't quite know how to describe Klinger in a dress, and he quite that with trans military.
And well, I'm sorry, go ahead.
To try to cross that, I'm like, well, for older people, like 80, that's their first incarnation of gay person, or what they perceived as gay person, trans person on television.
Yeah, Jay saying that.
I've said it so many times on the show that up until I worked actually in a gay bar, Big Bang Miss Sammy's bar from the 90s, and didn't even know I was working in a gay bar. But until then, I literally presumed that homosexuals or transgenders wore dresses, and you know that. And Klinger, Max Klinger, Jamie Farr was my introduction at an early age, and that's so my perception had been always, you know, the lisp, the bent wrists, and wearing a dress.
Klinger was
none
of those things. Yeah, the joke there with Klinger was he wasn't.
Correct.
But I'm the same way. When I was little, I definitely connected to that. Here's a man in a dress.
Well, the joke was, though, that, I mean, and one of the problems that I have with people referring to Klinger as that is, though this is what made me accept it. He was wearing a dress because he wanted to get kicked out of the army because he was crazy.
Exactly.
Not because it was gay or tranny or anything like that. He was wearing a dress so that people would think he was crazy. So that's why people of our parents' generation say things like, well, people who are transgendered are mentally ill.
Yeah.
It doesn't help our cause
to put up
a meme of Klinger.
Well, so I'm going. These are the tweets. It was three because he needed apparently 420.
Right.
420?
Well, it was three tweets.
420. Bye bye.
After consultation with my generals, why wrong, and military experts, please be advised that the United States government will not accept or allow transgender individuals to serve in any capacity in the U.S. military. Our military must be focused on decisive and overwhelming victory and cannot be burdened with the tremendous medical costs and disruption that transgender in the military would entail. Thank you. So, all right, so first of all, there's some out, like $40 million a year is spent on Viagra.
$84 million.
Go ahead.
Sorry, I have a question. Were people in the army and taking a break to go get their sex change funded by the army and then returning?
That's one of the arguments I got into with somebody.
Well, it's usually long term.
Yeah, you have insurance through the army for the rest of your life, usually.
Okay. But they're usually, not. No,
it's they don't not, leave for not, 2 weeks and come back.
Somebody came out and spoke about this. I just saw a video of them saying there's absolutely it has no effect on anybody else in the military. This is not. They're not going in going, woohoo, I'm getting my dick cut off. It's not...
And then going back to the front lines.
Yeah, that's not how it works. Okay.
Well, I would remind everybody who has perhaps maybe never been to a VA hospital.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't trust aspirin from one of those dumps, much less have gender reassignment surgery
Thank
there.
Thank you.
Let me bring some of my ever-loving statistics to the table.
Please.
The military currently spends about $84 million a year on Viagra.
Now, why?
Remember that once you serve, you are always on their insurance. So this is people that aren't even...
Yeah, it's really good, too.
These people aren't in the military anymore. They served in the military 30, 40 years ago. They're now 70 years old, and they're getting Viagra. Cut to the 15,500 currently transgendered active duty, and they are soldiers, by the way. They are soldiers. Those are not front... I'm willing to bet almost every one of those 15,500 are not frontline combat soldiers, but rather support. Mm-hmm. The statistics range, depending on the position, but the statistics range from 7 to 15 supporting soldiers for every frontline combat troop. So it's this perception that you're going to be in the trenches with somebody who's wearing a dress but still has a dick is absolutely ludicrous. These are secretaries and refueling specialists and transportation specialists. They are not combat soldiers.
Yeah, but wouldn't you just love to see, Chaz Bono pointing an AK-15 down a foxhole. And get out of there. Get out of that bush. Oh, bang.
The argument that comes is obviously it's always ill-informed when the people argue against it. And you give them the statistics that about $9 million a year goes for transgender reassignment. The entire scope, not just the surgeries themselves.
How expensive are a pair of scissors? I mean, you just need a rubber band. Snips. I saw them do it once to a bowl. You just use a rubber band.
That's a series of rubber bands.
Yeah.
I shouldn't. That's transphobic.
That's very transphobic, actually.
I shouldn't do that.
You're going to burn in hell.
And the slander starts here, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right.
So... let's see. So Caitlyn Jenner responded.
Well, that happened, and then the next day, the DOJ was released, or it's not going to defend gay and lesbian rights in workplaces anymore. Yeah. Pulled that back.
Yeah, we got, there's some more of that to talk about in a minute as well. Caitlyn Jenner's response was...
What is with this dog?
She's hungry.
It wants tab.
by the way, speaking of which, I would rather cut off my own arm than be crass, you know me.
Yeah.
But if any of you feel like you need to fart, could you please do it in my mouth so I can get the taste of tab? I can still taste it. I feel like I want to hurt myself.
Just so I get clarification, we are not sponsored by tab, are we?
Yes, they're covering the show.
Are they? Oh boy. Oh, yeah. I don't know if we're going to get that check.
I feel like if I took this to court, I could get a payment, like a movie.
Is this a new case of tab you unearthed?
No, you know, what's funny is that we were saying, they haven't changed to anything, and I feel like the can and the font and whatnot, it served as a warning. Nothing has changed. It's as awful as you remember. So, what are we about to listen to?
In honor of Billy Maynes, this is another one of his favorites from the Pet Shop Boys. This is called Go West.
Mm. Yes, it is.
This is Sam from Go Bear, and you are listening to Full of Grace Show. Thank you for listening.
There you go.
Thank you. Come again.
Happy good morning.
And I told Charlotte Ray that I was not going to eat it because the sound that you hear of the plunger is actually me pulling my lips off of her vagina.
Girl! Oh, girl, we're back, by the way.
Girls, girls. Mrs. Garrett.
2D.
That was the Pet Shop Boys, Go West.
Who originally sang Go West?
The village people.
It is the village people.
Yeah. By the way, Michael Malazzo, hello, Lee and Tally, Parker, Christopher, Jay. Oh, that's you.
That's me!
Cubby, Annette, Sleepy, Dopey, Bashful.
Michael's confused, listeners, because for the first time in this century, I have a smartphone.
I know! What happened?
People are actually going to see my real cats and not the random ones I find on the internet. Get ready. What happened was, I have been in love with somebody for 27 years, and this texting via my old phone of typing 555-666-555 so I can type LOL, it got to be too much. So we are now on the same phone account. It's really serious, like I joined her phone account, but I get to keep my old number. And I got a smartphone, so yes, now I can actually participate in what the real world is doing.
Is that Android?
No, it's an iPhone.
You should have seen his old phone. It had a rotary dial. It was so old. It was tragic. So welcome to
yes, I am very. I have to tell you, for the longest time.
Do you have to say?
I don't have to say, but I do have to tell you, which is the other one.
No. Yours, yeah.
Yeah,
your
yeah.
Tab.
That's mine.
You know what? Maybe if I ate some marijuana, I could get this taste out. All right. Did you guys put your cigarettes out in the ashtray? Could I maybe lick that?
Ugh. It's got Tab juice in it.
Oh, for beautiful people. Mm. I'm sorry. I'm really obsessing on this, but I can still taste it. One sip, and now it's just mocking me, looking at me.
Have some of the candied bacon. It will take the taste out of your mouth.
Yes, that candied bacon.
Have you had it? It's
the
phenomenal.
Candy bacon, not yet, because my body is a temple.
Candy bacon was my
favorite. It'll be a much happier temple when you put some of this in it.
Candy bacon was my favorite porn star from the 70s.
Candy bacon.
Candy bacon.
Kevin Bacon's sister. Oh my god.
It's amazing.
Oh my god, that is candy. That's amazing.
Thank you.
Can you tell your recipe or is it a secret?
No, I can tell the recipe. As a matter of fact, it's a very easy recipe. You take thick cut center bacon. Mm. You toss it around in a baggie with brown sugar, light or dark brown sugar. I use light brown sugar. But you just make sure that it's really coated very well. You lay it out in a deep pan for the oven. And then you cover that with even more brown sugar. And then you bake it for 30 minutes. Mm. You flip it over and you bake it for another 15 minutes. As soon as it's done, you take it right out and you have to lay it out on a wire rack right away because it will harden very quickly. I brought this here and unfortunately on the way, the humidity in Florida made it not very crunchy again.
It's still pretty crisp.
It can be very nice and crisp, like to the point where it snaps and it's almost like toffee and not taffy, but either way it's really good, and it's a easy recipe and people really love it. If you like bacon, this is like candy.
It's candy, so bacon.
Yeah, that would also be good with a light glaze of milk chocolate.
Actually, you can dip it into a chocolate ganache, which is really
good.
That
is fantastic.
Well, I can dip bacon into anything.
Yes, but when it's candied bacon, you dip it into a chocolate ganache, and it's fabulous. And that will be the restaurant part of the evening.
Here's what I need.
Heart attack and diabetes.
Anytime that we start talking about a recipe, I need everyone to sort of talk like they're on NPR. And a delicious chocolate ganache. All right, so I'm gonna change, mix things up a little bit and mention Trump. This is good. So, what is the lady who replaced Spicer, Jabba Huckabee?
The Huckabee Down syndrome, Marie Osmond.
Toxic Avengers daughter.
So, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, she decided this week during a press conference that she was going to start the conference. Like, well, first of all, right, it's sort of like North Korea where everyone must praise the supreme leader. Mm-hmm. She's like, we're going to start by reading, you know, some good news. And here's a letter we have received from a child, a 9-year-old.
A 9-year-old boy.
Boy named Pickle.
His friends call him Pickle.
Colin Pickle, well, it turns out, well,
Colin Pickle's a porn name.
Let me read the letter first.
That was my favorite part.
Now, when you see it, it's written, you know, like when an adult is trying to pretend that they've written a child's letter, so they'll use like a backward S and write with their left hand or something.
Or their foot.
Says, "Dear President Trump, my name is Dylan, but everyone calls me Pickle.
Pickle.
I'm 9 years old, and you are my favorite president. I like you so much. I had a birthday about you. My cake was the shape of your hat. How old are you? The wig, how big is the white hose?
It's not big.
You said not big at all.
How much money do you have? I don't know why people don't like you." Give him a minute, kid. Mm-hmm. "You seem..." That's misspelled, too. "You seem nice. Can we be friends? My picture is in here. If you see me, you can say hi. Your friend, Dylan." Well, everyone sort of looked at this and said, this is complete bullshit. This is literally.
He's obviously.
I mean,
downside.
Well, I'm looking at it. And I'm like, all right.
For special needs.
I hate calling children retarded, but
I don't.
At 9 years old, I wasn't expecting Tolstoy, but this, I mean, this is, well, it's pretty tragic. Now he might just have gone to an American school.
He just came out of a coma.
He is. I'm going to suggest that he is probably more literate than our current president.
Betsy DeVos should pay attention if this is really a 9-year-old.
Well, Pickle, they've said, well, Pickles, Pickle, they found him. Yeah, they found Pickle. And here's his, you know, I had somebody comment on it. Well, here's his mother's page. And of course, when all this happened, the first thing people were saying was, how long is it going to be before they hire some kid to take the fall for this letter?
Pickle.
Something about it. It just seems, it says, well, the Washington Post tracked down the child and is convinced that Pickle is not a plant. Dylan Pickle Harbin is a 9-year-old in Stockton, California, who first heard about Trump during a mock election in his third grade class. Now, first of all, maybe Pickle is not retarded, but I will say this. He has a Donald Trump-themed birthday party, so he's maybe the least popular kid in his class.
In California, he had that, so it was him and his mom.
Yeah. So Twitter, as they do, they like to strike back when such bullshit is put in front of us. Someone in the same crappy handwriting. Oh, I'm going to try to read this without laughing. "My name is Dylan. I am 9. President Trump is a genius and should fire Jeff Sessions. He should also... He should also lock up that bitch, Crooked Hillary. Make America great again. White power." Dylan. Then another one. "Dear Mr. Trump, release the piss tape." Bart. Oh, how much money do you make, Trump? I'd love to see those taxes.
Right, even little Dylan wants to see the taxes.
Well, and her response to it answering, how many gallons of paint does the... So apparently, Pickle's not allowed to use Google.
Right.
He's probably this homeschooled kid.
Oh, "Dear Mr. Trump, my name is Dan, and I am 33 years old. You are my least favorite president. I would take Millard Fillmore over you. You are very stupid and a hateful person. Honestly, how old are you? Please stop lying all the time. How much money do you have? I wish you would release your tax returns I can't wait until you are not the president. I give it another 3 weeks. Your friend Dan. Sometimes Twitter just really.
So why do you think that, we know this is bullshit? We know it's fake. Why do you think they did this? Do they think that would? Did they not think that people are going to see right through?
Well, because hold on,
is there an audience going? Oh, how cute!
Yes, this is remember, this is the party that of quote unquote family values who elected a pussy grabber.
Mm-hmm.
All right, somebody who bragged about barging in on underage pageant contestants, mm-hmm. who has talked about if he wasn't her father, he'd be dating mm-hmm. Ivanka.
Which circles us right back around to the Klinger picture and the older generation. Because they're seeing a grandkid and it's yay America, and you're not talking about any of the other
crap. None of the bad stuff, right. This is pure...
It was a day of heartwarming after roasting.
This is candy-coated bacon.
Yes!
Not as good, but...
Or Tab. It's better than Tab.
Oh, my God. Well, Dylan Pickle was actually the name of a character in the Rugrats cartoon.
Mm-hmm. And also, Pickle happens to be one of Mike Pence's pet's names.
Yeah, I don't think they have to try very hard because, like I said, there's half. You said, well, his people are people. Yes, half of the country are going, wow, what a great man Trump is because children love him.
And they keep doing, again, they keep doing these ridiculous things, and half of the country is laughing. The rest of the world is laughing at them. And then half of the United States is applauding him and believing this reality show that it has become. Mm-hmm. This ridiculous, very poorly written reality television show that is this administration. And it keeps going on and it does not stop. And it will not stop just because people are making money where they want to make money. And if he goes away in any capacity, it's only because they'll make more money in their position, but not because he's doing a bad job.
But also think about, it was, 2 weeks ago that he had everybody, they were having a meeting, and he had everybody go around the table and say they liked about him.
Yep.
Everyone go around the table and tell me something good about me.
Yeah.
I'm like, it is like, here's the thing. I had a conversation with my mother about this yesterday. This week, North Korea had launched another...
They launched another...
A missile, and they're now capable of getting a nuclear warhead to the mainland. We were worried about Hawaii. We were worried about Alaska. They're now saying that, it looks like they have moved very quickly. Since January, they have made huge advancements, and that it looks... Like, now New York and D.C. are not safe. Now, on top of that, we've got Kim Jong-un, his crazy ass with a bomb on one side, and then you've got Donald Trump on the other and his crazy ass with a bunch of bombs. This isn't going to end well, I fear. And what is going on with Russia?
I was
going
to say, do they press the button as well?
Well, I just saw that, let me pull it up. Breaking news. No, that's Scaramucci.
And are they going to be on our team? Or their own team?
Russia?
Yeah.
No, Russia's an ally of North Korea's. Russia and China are both allies.
And let's not forget that Russia... There's proof that Russia has been arming the Taliban.
Did y'all hear that next season on MTV they're bringing the Real World back? It's Real World White House.
We put five weirdos in the house and filmed them.
Give them the launch codes.
So, does anybody know about these U.S. sanctions that have been placed on Russia? Something happened today. And Putin is now expelling 755 diplomats in response to the U.S. sanctions by September 1st. That's also not great.
Well, in response to Barack Obama kicking the Russian diplomats out of the U.S.
Or Russia kicking the U.S. delegates out of Russia.
Well, he just did that today. Barack Obama did that after before
yeah,
he left
he did
office.
It in October of last year, yeah.
Barack Obama kicked him out when he found out that they had meddled in the election.
Oh, right.
Which, again, Donald Trump standing on a stage telling his supporters, it's Barack Obama's fault for not doing anything that I'm president. So, you're blaming the black guy that you won?
Well, it says the quote is, Putin keeps his promise to retaliate against Trump's, quote, weird and unacceptable sanctions bill. So this is, he's blaming, putting the blame squarely on Donald Trump's shoulders. Putin is.
Well, that's the bill that the Senate was going to send. It has overwhelmingly voted for. Barack Obama kicked those diplomats out back in October.
There was speaking on ABC's This Week, Russian Deputy Foreign Minister Sergei Rybov, referred to a bill passed by Congress on Thursday to sanction his country as, quote, weird and unacceptable.
You can just call that person Miss Russia.
I
think he was.
I'll have to look into that. But oh well, so we're all going to die there.
But the other thing is if you think about it, and I've heard other people talk about this, when it comes to North Korea, yes, they may now be able to have a bomb that can reach the mainland, etc. But they've had the technology to screw with all of our technical and computerware forever
and a day.
They can shut us down in a heartbeat by putting out a virus that hits everything in the United States. They could make something that could stop our electricity.
Yeah,
could you imagine?
That's the idea. Is that, first of all, North Korea, remember a while back there was a lot of information got leaked from Sony, and it turned out that it was North Korea that hacked into Sony. And Barack Obama said this is unacceptable, and, you know, what they're not telling us, that I have been reading, is that for years there has been part of their military, that's all they're doing is learning how to hack America.
Mm-hmm.
And it's exactly what you're saying, is that
this
they
next
won't
war
have
won't
to drop
fought.
A bomb.
Yeah, this next war won't be fought
They'll just
in the street.
Turn off our electricity. They were saying China's doing the same thing. This China will not drop a bomb on us. They'll just turn everything off and
make
us surrender.
That will make us turn against each other, because we will panic and we will turn against each other.
You ever been in the Midwest when they say there's a blizzard coming? You ever been in a Walmart the night before Thanksgiving?
Or a Walmart before we're going to have a hurricane here in Florida.
Or the day after Thanksgiving at a Walmart? We will turn on each other so fast.
Yep.
Grr. Grr. That's grr.
Yes, wow. Grr. Well, all right, so I'm going to pull away from Trump. Let me see if that everything.
I don't want to talk about her having a conversation with Nazi youth. I mean, the Boy Scouts of America.
Right.
And the next day,
let's wait for the second show. We've got about 9 minutes left. But I do have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Scaramucci is his name. What is his new position?
Director of Communications.
What is Kellyanne Conway's position?
She's counselor to the president.
She's a senior counselor.
And he's completely bypassed the chain of command that he now reports directly to Trump and not the chief of staff. Yeah.
And then what is Down Syndrome Marie Osmond?
She is the
she replaced
White House press secretary.
She's the press secretary. Is Little Baron still retarded?
Yeah. Can you imagine that? Like, what his world must be like?
No, you know what? I feel like that might be pickle. We might have found
that. That is pickle.
Have you ever seen Baron Trump clap? It's like a circus seal.
I've seen him try.
Like he can't get his hands to connect. He's clearly autistic.
That's what happens when 69-year-old sperm
meets 35-year-old Russian eggs.
Yeah. Slovakian.
Slovakian eggs.
Well, Kellyanne Conway just came out on Fox News. I think this was today, actually. She said that
she's been dead for 7 years.
I know. That's why I was asking what all of their positions are. But she she's making it clear that that it's very important that we treat Trump and Pence not as our peers. We are not to look at them that way. That they are better than we are.
That we should treat them with deference and respect.
Yes.
Right.
As though you would worship a deity.
This is important. This is important. We all know this is what's going on here, but
I don't think a lot of people see what's really going on.
Well,
here.
Between the Hitler Youth speech, which we'll cover later, and the literally coming out and saying that we are to be essentially worshipped, you know, they're like, setting the tone for a mass cult.
I mean, isn't that how it works? Mm-hmm. I mean, isn't that how? I mean, when I look back at how the Republicans treated Barack Obama, it was basically just idol worship.
No, I thought they sat quietly and politely.
They were sweet about it.
Reverent.
You would never know. You would have never known he was black.
You know what though, and they loved him so much they would hang up effigies all. From
they did.
Trees.
They loved him so.
They would
much.
Decorate trees with effigies of him.
Yes, you're right. They would light little flames of appreciation.
It's like the Catholics light the
candles. Yeah,
the
they would just light a Barack Obama.
It was a Barack Obama candle.
Over
a big one.
They loved him.
Referring to his wife and children as simians also was, I thought, cute because everyone loves apes. Everyone, mm-hmm. think about how sweet King Kong was.
Grape ape, come on, grape ape.
Mm-hmm. I noticed also that it wasn't, that it's, that Paul Ryan was saying no sleeveless dresses are allowed.
What?
Yeah. Yes.
No sleeveless because
women are not allowed to wear sleeveless dresses.
Can I say something? Because you and I have talked about
this. Do you have to say or can you say?
Well, I have to say. Go ahead. You've got the mouth in here. I have to say. Something you and I have talked about. We know, I mean, and this is really, I mean, I think a lot of people's opinions, but I think that it's very obvious that we know they're trying to get rid of everything the black man did.
It's
and
like
ever since I saw, and of course his wife comes out looking beautiful with her sleeveless dresses, and now nobody can do that because. And then you saw the video of Barack Obama on the plane with a big old dick hanging out halfway down his leg. It's like all of this is like you're upset because a black man's better than you, and you're going to do everything you can do to wipe
that,
to erase
his legacy. Make no mistake
about
it.
But it's never going to happen. I mean, you're never going to be able to do that.
Make no mistake about it, and I've said this since November, that this presidency is, by and large, half of America has said, God damn it, we are going to punish you for allowing a Negro in the White House for 8 years.
That's what it all is.
That's what this all comes down to, period.
That's it.
We're all being punished for a black man being in the White House.
Half black.
Well, that's then. You know what?
Half black.
I like to look at the glasses half full. So
half black.
He was a half white. That's I try to keep it positive. He was half white. What are you doing? What's the matter?
She's very happy.
What are you? Cha cha. Yeah, cha cha. Oh, I'm sorry. No, that's the dog.
Sorry.
Who's a good girl? Yes, she is. Cha cha's a good girl. Yes.
She sounds like a gremlin.
Ladies and gentlemen. I forgot to mention Lee Shannon's here. She has been very quiet tonight. Lee, and you keep your mouth shut, Lee. I'm not listening to her. I completely forgot about Lacey Browning's show. I wonder how that went.
That was this weekend, right?
That was Friday night, I believe, with Lee Shannon. Mm-hmm. At the, what was the bar? What's the little bar?
Hamburger?
No. It's just... there's a little, I guess...
Faces? No, that was back in
the
80s.
They
would have got thrown out of there.
No, they served Tab at Faces. That's funny.
They probably still do.
You have to remind me of Tab, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know if I've mentioned this, but Tab's awful.
Well, next week we can make acid and soak it in Tab.
Well, this has been this is just no it's been thank you so much
it's just been our first show we're just getting warmed
people.
Up
so yeah
I
so,
won't be here for the second show
I know you got to be exhausted you actually exhausted. Came in with your luggage bless
well because I didn't want to leave my stuff in the heat in the car
well thank you for coming a big round of applause for Ms. Kira
Lee.
Thank
you so much for your show. You're welcome.
Thank you very
Carolee,
much.
Where can we see you this week since you're leaving us?
Probably rolling in myself in my own feces in the corner rocking myself to sleep while I cry alone.
Well, please.
Judy Garland will be there to eat you when you're dead.
I started to say, see, Judge will come in and find you gnawing on one of your toes.
Yeah.
Are you all staying for the second show, everybody?
I actually am going to be taking my headache home.
Christine. I'm sorry, sweetheart.
Well, stop calling me your headache.
Hey!
Where can we see you this week?
As always, you know, out at the theme parks doing some magic, as I always do, and making candied bacon for everyone. Mm.
Thank you so much. All right, well, you guys, we will be back
with Cha-Cha and Tom.
With
and
Cha-Cha
Jay.
And Tom and Jay with Full of Grace, the second coming.
Cha-Cha and Tom and Jay.
Guys, stick around. We'll be back. We're switching gears. I do have some funny things to talk about.
Okay.
Oh, now it's going
to
happen.
Stop calling me a funny thing to talk about.
Like, if you're
listening live, just hang in there. Just wait for us. We'll be back. If you're on Podomatic or iTunes, just go to the next podcast. And
good night. See you on the other side of the show.